Charles Frazier. All right. If you're in your Bibles tonight, that's the first technical glitch we've had in a long time. It must be that thing's weirded out on us. Genesis chapter 12. We have been blessed by a very good sound system. I tell you what, listening Sunday to the choir sing with the sound system we have, and what it is, we've already gotten kind of used to it, but you got to remember what we had. And this is so much better. And certainly no sound system is perfect. In fact, every sound system pretty much is demon-possessed. So every once in a while, it has to do its own thing. It's just the way it is. I was at Lancaster Baptist Church, which is a church that runs 8,000. And we were out there a couple years ago on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about their big crowd. And they had a lapel mic do the same thing. So it's not, you know, it happens just the way it is. And they're demon-possessed, just the way it is. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Very familiar passage. We're in our series on heroes of the faith. And I'm going to preach a little bit on Abraham. We are going to come back to Daniel. And just want to take a few principles tonight from the life of Abraham. And there are so many that we could do. But just remind you of a couple of truths. Here we go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, if verse 3 is not underlined in your Bible, it should be. If you underline in your Bible, that probably one of the top 10 verses in the Old Testament, this is it. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a statement from God. What a promise from God. In thee shall all the families, not the Jews, but all, it includes the Jews, but it's everyone, all families of the earth will be blessed. By the way, you're part of that promise tonight. If you're saved here tonight, you're a part of that promise spiritually, the New Testament tells us. And we are spiritually children of Abraham, if you would. And so what a promise from the Lord. Turn over to Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I would underline the word seed there, singular. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And we've done this cross reference before, but it's always good to look at. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Look at verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We just read it. The promise of what? There's two promises. That all the soil that I walk upon shall be yours, and the seed shall number as the stars of heaven, as the sand on the seashore. So you might write that down somewhere. Soil, which is the proper pronunciation. Or soul, if you're from Texas, and you believe Nolan Ryan pronounces everything right. Soul and seed. Those are the promise of God. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, verse 16, and he saith not as to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham was promised that through him, through his loins, the promised Messiah would come, Christ. We'll read some more here in a moment. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for the opportunity again to meet in your house. I pray that you bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us are very familiar with Abraham, a man raised in the Ur of the Chaldees, and that part close over there by the Persian Gulf. In fact, this particular area was at the mouth of the Euphrates River, some 12 miles from what is considered the site or traditional site of the Garden of Eden. He was raised in a pagan family. That's important as well. Whenever God came to him and said, "Get thee out of thy, from thy father's house and go to a land that I've told you of," and he left what he knew. He left his gods to follow the true God. And so very important. He moved with his father and came to Haran, and there his father died. I believe there's some couple of messages in that one, in that God told him to leave his father and mother and go, and he took his dad with him, and I think there were some repercussions because of that. But that's a whole different message. He moved to Canaan in Genesis chapter 12, we just read. He had already received instructions from God to move, and he did so. By the way, if you ever get a chance, Acts chapter 7 is a history of the nation of Israel. It's a great sermon preached by Stephen. You can go over there, you can read about the entire episode all the way from all the way through. It's amazing, a sermon by Stephen. So it's a good cross-reference for you. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 through 4, talks about Abraham again moving and following the instructions of God. Abraham was about 75 years old when he moved from Haran and was 175 when he died. God blessed him with many years. We know and understand that Abraham was the founder of the Jewish nation, that God promised to him the soil that he walked upon, the seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand on the seashore. So he was the founder of the Jewish nation. He was not born a Jew. Everybody understand that? He was not born a Jew. He made a covenant with God and became a Jew. Okay? Because there's a lot of misinformation out there. Abraham was not born a Jew. He became a Jew. He covenanted with God. And when in that covenant, he became the father of the Jewish nation. The Bible says in Genesis 15, we read just a moment ago, that he believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. He believed the word of God. He believed what God had told him. He took it at its value. He took it as absolutely true. And God blessed that. In fact, he was the first recorded man in the Bible where the scripture says that he believed God. That phrase is found. He believed God. I think even from that principle, we ought to all learn that we ought to believe God. Everything that he says. And not just for Abraham, but for us. Even though he was the first one that was considered or had to believe God, he was not the first believer. Right? Who was the first believer? Adam. Adam was the first believer. Adam got saved. Amen. And, that's another message. But he became a pattern for all believers. Look back with me in Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. The Bible says that even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Again, we just read it all a while ago there in Genesis 12, or verse Genesis 15. Now you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Let me read that without twisting my tongue. Ready? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Who's that? That's us, believers. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. When we read a moment ago about, and I can't move from the pulpit, in Genesis chapter 12, and God made that promise to Abraham in verse 3, Galatians gives us further insight and says that God explained that verse to Abraham. That God gave Abraham the gospel. That the gospel was preached unto him. Amen. I still believe sometimes in our minds we think about Adam and we think about, well, yeah, Adam, fell and sinned, and therefore the Bible says, therefore sin passed upon all men for all have sinned. But when God killed those animals and made for Adam and Eve a coat of skin, and he sacrificed those animals, you don't think God didn't explain what was going on? Absolutely he did. Absolutely. There's not a doubt in my mind when God was handing out the the whippings to Adam and to the serpent and to Eve? You don't think he didn't explain those? Absolutely he did. God is a God of order. And certainly God does not want robots. He wants us to understand what we believe and why and so forth. And so in Genesis 3:15, the Bible says that I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Thou shalt bruise his heel and thou shalt bruise his head. I'm close. That prophecy was explained to Adam and Eve. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. Abraham understood that through him the Messiah would come, through his loins. He did not say seeds, plural, but seed, singular. That seed was Christ. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. Well, how would you like to hear God give that gospel presentation? Wouldn't that have been tremendous? So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 9. Verse 16, we've just read a while ago. He said, not as seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham became a pattern for all believers. For all believers, in that he believed God, and it's accounted to him for righteousness. I'm glad today that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that though I was sinful and undone, and even at the age of 6, selfish, and on my way to hell, God saved me. Why? Because I put my faith and my trust in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Looking back on it, looking back to the cross, now Abraham looked forward to the cross, but he got saved the same way we do. He put his faith in the coming Messiah, the Christ who was to come and take away the sins of the world. We get saved by looking back to the cross, looking back to the sacrifice that was made on Calvary, believing and putting our trust in him, and we are saved. The same way Abraham was saved. There's not two different ways. One way for people to get saved in the Old Testament, a second way to get saved in the New Testament, and a third way to get saved in the Millennial Kingdom. There's only one way to get saved, and that's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Millennial Kingdom, there'll be millions of people saved who will accept Christ as their Savior, and they'll get saved the very same way. I would think it might be even a little easier since you can see him, but you still have to put your faith in him. Amen? Or your trust in him. All right? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. Pretty important man as we think about heroes of the faith. We know in Genesis chapter 14 that we have a record of Abraham giving a tithe. And we'll take just a moment and go back because this is another area that we get a lot of questions about. When did the tithe begin? And I get a lot of that question sometimes when people don't want to be accountable to God and don't want to give. They'll say things like, well, the tithing, that's an Old Testament thing. That was a law thing. That's not Old Testament, but that's a law thing. That was given in the law. We're not, Bible says that we're not under the law, under grace. Yeah, the tithe was before the law. It's pretty absolutely easy to prove. Abraham gave the tithe. We find it there in Genesis chapter 14 that he worshiped through giving. There Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And verse 18, chapter 14, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, talking about Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So when Abraham went and saved his nephew Lot and brought them back and all his families, and of all the spoil that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, the tithe 10%. And so when someone asks you that question, that the tithe is an Old Testament law, that was given to Moses in the law, we're not under the law but under grace now, well, you can always go back and reference this, that tithe was before the law. By the way, Jesus Christ did not condemn tithing when he was here. He condoned it. He watched them as they gave. The Bible says in the New Testament that upon the first day of the week, we're to lay aside what's been given to us, as God has prospered to us, that we ought to give a tithe of everything that we make and everything that where God has prospered us on the first day of the week. And so I'm always... I had a man approach me last Sunday and said, I forgot my checkbook, I can't give today. And that's happened to me a few times, and it bothers me. It bothers me when that happens to me, when I didn't get my check written out or something, busy week or whatever. And that has happened very often, but it does happen. It bothers me not to give it on Sunday. Just because of that biblical principle. And I say it again, the tithe is 10%. I know we have new converts in here. Just want to encourage you. One of the greatest things you can do is get involved in giving to the Lord. And the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Let's turn back over to the New Testament there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And, you know, it's not just Brother J.C. House's job to preach on giving. It's the pastor needs to do it every once in a while. And Brother House is such a blessing. Every year, a blessing the way he presents giving and so forth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, that we ought to give bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he hath prospered in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And it's absolutely true that as you give, that God will bless you. Now, we don't preach health and wealth prosperity preaching around here. I don't think if you give God $100, he's going to give you $10,000. That is foolishness. It's not biblical. And the TV evangelists can spout it off all day long, but the Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does say that if you will give, that God will bless you. And that if you'll give, it is obedience to God. And when we are in fellowship, when we are in obedience to God, then God will fellowship with us and God will bless us. I believe absolutely that God's blessings are directly related to our obedience. I'm not saying he won't bless you in spite of yourself every once in a while. He has done that for me. But don't push him. Right? You reap what you sow. That's what he says. And boy, God's gracious and he's merciful. And so many times he does not give us what we deserve. He blesses us in spite of us. But that will not last. That God eventually does sweep in. He says, as a father chasteneth his son, that he'll chasten us because he loves us. And so, therefore, we better not take that grace that he gives us for granted. And we ought to give. And we ought to give bountifully. If we give bountifully, he'll give unto us bountifully. And when we give, we should not give of necessity, not because we have to. Right? Well, you know, I'm a teacher, and that preacher says if I don't give my tithe, I can't teach in here, you know. Boy, I hope that's not your motivation. Please. Amen? Well, you know, this or that or whatever. No, I was raised this way, and therefore I was raised that way too. But there ought to come a point in your Christian life where you've gotten past that. Right? You've grown past that. You give because you love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I don't do what Jesus has asked me to do because I have to. I do it because I want to. As an adult, I don't do what my dad asked me to do because I have to. I'm bigger than him now. I could take him anytime I want. He's 63. I think I could take him. No, I can't. Yeah. With some help. I don't have to obey my dad. I do because I love him. And I've given you, y'all know what I feel, how I feel about my dad. My dad was, somebody was to walk in right now and said, your dad said you need to get up in Oklahoma. I'm sorry, I love you guys, but that's where I'm going to head. He wouldn't do that, but I'm saying, yes, I love him. I love my Lord. I do what he asks because I want to. I love him. And we ought to give bountifully. And then not of necessity, but cheerfully. Not only do I not give grudgingly nor necessity, but I give cheerfully. I love it when I can, you know, we just had the anniversary offering. And I love it when I can stand up and say, hey, me and my wife gave $300 to the anniversary offering. I want to be a good example as a pastor. I didn't do that because I had to. I did it because I want to. I could have gave 20, you know, and still been an example. At least I gave something. But I want to give something. God bless me, I want to give. And whatever it may be, however God has blessed you, you give. And if you'll give, absolutely God will bless you. All right? So Abraham gave tithes of all. He worshiped God through giving. He knew how to take his requests and burdens to the Lord. And we see this over and over with Abraham. And I'm not, yeah, turn over to Genesis chapter 18. We got a few more minutes. Abraham, again, was promised a seed. He was promised a child. Sarah was promised a son. And then, he prays about that. But then we come to Genesis 18. Everybody's familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He humbles himself before the Lord in verse 27. Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." And we are to come to God humbly, come to before His throne, prostrate at His feet, and come to Him and seek requests and give our burdens to Him. Not only was Abraham humble about it, but he was persistent. How many of us would have been that persistent in the face, looking at God Himself, looking at the Lord Himself, and being that persistent? Well, if there be 50, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? If there's 40, if there's 30, will you spare Sodom? What about if there's 10, would you spare them? How many of us would be that persistent? There's some of us, we pray a prayer a couple of times, we give up. Abraham, man, he was persistent. He was persistent. And if God has truly given you a burden for someone, or God has given you truly a burden for something, continue to pray. Be persistent with it. Amen? Amen. What a great principle we find in the Bible from Abraham. And I will move on. I don't want to, because anytime you come across Sodom and Gomorrah, I'd like to make a few comments. That I've been accused, even of late. We have a lot of visitors now, and I don't think this, but I do get emails every once in a while, or texts every once in a while. I've told a few of my bigger guys, "Where's Brother Juan at? Juan, I need a bodyguard, man. Will you help me out?" There is a group of people, a large segment of America today, who, if you stand for biblical truth concerning morality, they call you a bigot, or that you hate, homosexuals, or you hate women, or you hate Jews, or you hate, and it just continues. And Brother Jeffers over in Dallas has been attacked over and over again, and he's done such a great job of defending the faith. And I'm not a Southern Baptist, but that man has done a terrific job. And I said this here a few weeks ago, but if you did not get a chance to go on YouTube and watch his what he said to his church after whatever that guy's name is, Tim Tebow decided not to come to his church, which showed Tim Tebow's true colors, by the way. If you'll go and watch it, it will bless your heart. The man's loving and kind. We don't hate anybody. But we do stand for biblical truth. And the Bible makes it very clear over and over again in the Old Testament that immorality, that God judges it. And whether it's homosexuality or adultery or fornication, God judges these things. And God absolutely does. And so we need to continue to stand for the faith. Amen? In the day and age in which we live, some of these moral issues have become huge issues. And we can't back down. Again, we need to continue to repeat over and over again that God desires a personal relationship with everyone and that God loves everyone. It doesn't matter who they are. God loved Hitler. Jesus Christ died on the cross for Hitler. Let's remember that. I know that's an exaggerated point, but it's absolutely true. And so it's up to us to remember to love everyone. No, everyone's welcome at our church. They can come and visit anytime they want. I don't care who they are, what they are, whomever they are. And we'll love them. And we'll preach to them. And we'll do our very best to present the gospel to them. Because God is a God of love. But certainly God has not set aside set aside His laws for someone because He loves them. We know that. Because He's sending us the penalty of sin is death. Amen? And so there, that's all I'll say. Number three, not only was Abraham just a man of prayer, a man who gave and gave cheerfully and wonderfully gave his tithe, but he's also a man of obedience and faith. And we don't have time tonight to go through this because I took up too much time, but we know the story of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham took his son, his only son, as God asked him to do, and took him up Mount Moriah. And there he bound Isaac. No doubt, I absolutely believe that Isaac was capable of keeping his father from doing that. Isaac was not a little boy. Isaac was a teenage boy. Abraham was a very old man at that time. I believe Isaac also, as Jesus did on the cross, that he laid himself down, allowed his dad to tie him up, bound him, put him on that altar, and was ready to strike his son dead. Right? And the angel stopped him. We know that Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, that eventually they had a son in their old age, when Sarah was past the age of having children. So the birth was supernatural. God intervened. And then God supernaturally spared his son as well, Isaac. Hebrews tells us, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll end there. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what Abraham was thinking when he took that knife up and was going to slay his son. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What was the promise? Soul and seed. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that if he had slayed his son, that God would have raised him from the dead. Because he believed in the promise of God to the extent he knew that Isaac was the promised seed. He knew that Isaac had to live in order for the Messiah to be born. It's almost like watching a movie. And you think that the heroine, the main, you know, the actor, and they make out like he's going to die. In the back of your mind, you know he's not. They can't kill the main actor off. Right? I mean, if it's a good movie. Right? There's some of those movies that they kill the main actor off, and those just stink. But the good movies, you know, in the back of your mind, you know they're not going to kill that guy off or that woman off. She's going to make it. He's going to make it. I know it's silly, but Abraham knew. He knew. He believed in the promises of God. How much do you believe in the promises of God? Think about all the promises. We pointed out some of the principles tonight of giving, and that if you'll give, God will give back to you. That if you'll pray humbly and be persistent, that God will answer your prayer. Right? If you act upon your faith, that God will bless that. God blessed Abraham's faith. There are five times Abraham says that it was said of Abraham that he worshiped God there in the book of Genesis. Every time was after he had done something stupid that he came back and he worshiped God. Not only was he a man of prayer, not only was he a giving man, not only was he a man who had great faith, but he was a man of great repentance. He knew when to come and get right with God. He went down into Egypt, said that his wife Sarah was his sister. It was a mess. What did he do? He came back to Bethel, worshiped God, and repented. What a great principle of a man of God. Isaiah says, Isaiah 41, verse 8, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah said this, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham." You remember what it says? My friend. My friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. That's an old message I preached years ago. Just always sticks out in my mind. Every time I think about Abraham, I think about Isaiah calling him the friend of God. It's kind of like when you think of David, you think about the one that the Lord, he said that he loved the Lord. The friend of God. I want to be called the friend of God. I want to have that kind of relationship with the Lord as Abraham had. And you can. just go to Him in prayer. Let's all stand.